passage of Scripture in Philippians. This is the Apostle Paul talking to the Philippian church. He says something very, very profound here. We'll go ahead and start reading in verse 12. This is the Apostle Paul writing again. He says, "Not that I've already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." I just so love this passage of Scripture with the Apostle Paul, because when you look at the Apostle Paul, you know, sometimes it can seem pretty hard to identify with this guy. This is a guy who was caught up into the third heaven, hung out in the third heaven for a while. What are the heaven? The third heaven is heaven itself, okay? That's where you go to be with Christ when you're done with your tour of duty down here. You go from the first heaven to the third heaven to be with Him. Well, the Apostle Paul hung out in the third heaven, got revelation, got insight from God. We know that the Lord gave him the revelation that he wrote the Scriptures, 13 books of this New Testament. And you look at a guy like the Apostle Paul, and it can be like, man, he's amazing. He's done it all. He's seen it all. You know, how could I just ever be anything like him? And yet you'll see the Apostle Paul has this amazing humility about himself, humility about his life. Having done everything that he did, he says, "Not that I've already attained or am already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has laid hold of me. I don't count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind." The Apostle Paul, the amazing thing about his life, apart from all the things that he did, was he really had a perspective. He had a perspective about his past, his present, and his future. No matter how wonderfully God may have used him in his past, or no matter what might have happened to him in his past, or what he did in his past, he knew it was the past. He knew where he was in the present, and he knew directionally where he was going to in the future. This morning, the title of my message is simply Past, Present, Future. And what I want us to do this morning is to kind of get our spiritual bearings, if you will. Because no matter what's going on in your life, as it relates to your circumstances, thoughts, concerns, somewhere categorically, it's part of your past, your present, or your future. Now, this is not, you know, going to address every individual little specific problem or area, but I want this message this morning, as you're kind of sorting through your life and the issues of your heart, begin to think about it. Is this past, present, future? And what is that godly, healthy, scriptural, biblical perspective that we need to maintain regarding our past, present, and future that is going to cause us to stay on track like the Apostle Paul, year after year after year, living for God, being used by God, till he gets to the end of his life and he says, "Hey, I fought the fight, finished the race, kept the faith. There's waiting for me the reward, which the Lord will give me." You know, that's what I want to be able to do. I want to be able to keep that healthy spiritual perspective as it relates to my life. Now, in looking at, again, this morning, past, present, future, as it relates to our life, we're going to start the past. And the first point is forgetting your past mistakes. Now, the Apostle Paul said this again. We're going to reiterate a verse we already looked at here, but we're going to look at it again, and then again in the Amplified. Philippians 3:13, Paul says, "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I do not consider, brethren, that I have captured and made it my own yet, but one thing I do, it is my one aspiration, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead." Now, when you look at the Apostle Paul's life and read about the Apostle Paul's life in the book of Acts, you realize that the Apostle Paul was not always the Apostle Paul. He started out as the great persecutor Saul. And when you look at some of the things that Paul did in his life, some of the things that are part of the Apostle Paul's past, it's pretty horrific. I mean, he was the one consenting to the stoning of Stephen, the first martyr of the church. He was right there, watching Stephen. I mean, think of the hatred he must have had for Christians and Christianity to be looking on with a consenting look upon Stephen getting stoned. The Bible also tells us that he was responsible for taking men and women and hauling them off into prison just because of their faith in Christ, separating parents from their children. I don't know exactly what that looked like. Must have been some pretty nasty scenes. But the Apostle Paul was so bent on what he was going to do. You know, I mean, the words that he just set out blasphemous regarding Jesus Christ. I mean, once he came over and he realized that Jesus is Lord and gave his heart to him and gave his life to him, you got to know that the enemy probably came back around the Apostle Paul's mind and said, remember this? Remember this? Remember that expression? Remember that parent? Yeah, they ended up dying because of what you did. I mean, I'm sure the video clip of Stephen getting stoned was something that he had to deal with in his mind. You know, but what did the Apostle Paul say? He said, I don't consider, brethren, that I've captured or made it my own, talking about, you know, his perfection or going on and being perfect in Christ. He said, but one thing I do, it is my one aspiration, forgetting what lies behind. The Apostle Paul knew that if he was going to go forward in the call and the plan of God for his life, he could not be living and playing the Stephen's getting stoned video over and over and over in his mind. He couldn't be replaying his mistakes over and over and over and over in his mind. He had to be able to put his past behind him, put his past mistakes behind him. Here's a great scripture we have, a great promise that we have as believers. And this is what we were talking about even earlier during communion this morning. Hebrews 4:15-16. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Thank God there is a throne of grace that we can come to two things: to obtain mercy and find grace to help in connection with our temptations, in connection with our weaknesses. There's a throne of grace to obtain mercy. Thank God for it. I thank God for it. You know, when I think about my past mistakes, things that I'm consciously aware of that I have done wrong, I thank God that there is a throne of grace that I can come before and say, Father God, I'm sorry. I ask you to forgive me and cleanse me and receive that cleansing and forgiveness. And it's done. Do you understand? The confession of sin is not a perpetuation of sin consciousness. The confession of sin is sin closure that gets it behind you. There is no more basis for accusation. The price was paid 2,000 years ago, but the redemptive blessings that were purchased 2,000 years ago are appropriated by faith. And so when there is something in your conscience that you've done, something wrong, thank God there's a throne of grace. You can say, Father, in Jesus' name, I receive the precious cleansing and forgiveness that you paid for 2,000 years ago. What you did on that cross was good enough. I receive it. I receive it. I thank you for it. And I just receive the forgiveness and cleansing now in Jesus' name. There is nothing in your past you ever have to live on top of. There is nothing you can do in your own strength and of your own self to ever pay for or take away that sense of condemnation. You can't read enough scripture. There's only one thing that'll wash and cleanse. He says later on in the Hebrews chapter 10, he says, you know, if the blood and bulls and goats in the Old Testament had a purifying effect, how much more shall the blood of Christ cleanse your conscience from dead works that you may serve the living God? We have a precious blood of Jesus Christ, a conscience cleansing blood of Christ that we receive and draw strength from. So when we're talking about, you know, forgetting the past mistakes, the way we forget past mistakes is not by just trying to block them out of our mind. It's not a mental exercise of trying to not remember. It's not a mind over matter. It's not a mental game. It's a proactive application of the blood of Christ over that thing in Jesus' name and receiving forgiveness and cleansing from all unrighteousness. And if there's any of another thought that comes back about what about that, what about that, you say, no, I bring it into captivity to the fact that I have confessed it. It is cleansed. It is done with. It is closure in Jesus' name. And that's a powerful thing. It's a powerful way to live. It's a powerful way to live from sin consciousness. Praise God. That's the avenue. That's the way that God has made a throne of grace to obtain mercy. Hallelujah, to help in our time of need. Another aspect of forgetting those things that are behind, not only our past mistakes, the things that we've done, but we've also got to realize that in the past, not only lies sin, but it also lies an identity. There's an identity in your past. You know, there's an identity in your past. I'm always like this. I always think like this. I always act like this. Well, thank God for 2 Corinthians 5:17 and what God did for us in Christ, and we received Jesus as our Savior. The Bible says if any person is engrafted in Christ, the Messiah, he is a new creation. A new creation altogether. The old, previous, moral, and spiritual condition has passed away. Behold, the fresh and the new has come. And so a big part of getting the past in the past is beginning to renew your mind to the way you think about yourself. You know, the Apostle Paul said in Romans, he said, "For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace." That's a powerful thing. Sin having dominion over you isn't just like, oh, I have a hard time with that. It gets to your identity. It plays on your mind as it relates to who you are. You know, it's like, okay, you're a Christian, that's fine, but, you know, the enemy will lie to you and say, but I have you here, but I own you here. You'll never be free from this. That's not true. Jesus said, he whom the Son has set free is free indeed. On the inside, you're already a new creation in Christ Jesus. The old has passed away. Behold, all has become new. You're not trying to get new. You already are new. That's the miracle of the new birth. But in your mind and in your body, you still have passions and ways of thinking that are wrong. But here's the powerful way we begin to renew our mind off those past identities. No, I'm a new creation in Christ. If you got an issue with, you know, if you got an issue in the area of the flesh, you know, the works of the flesh are right out there in Galatians chapter 5. Adultery, fornication, lewdness, hatred, anger, wrath, outbursts of wrath, heresies, you know, different things like that. So you can fill in the blank. Whatever it might be that you feel like from your past kind of is controlling your life, you can say, no, no way. Hatred shall not have dominion over me, for I'm not under the law, but I'm under grace. Adultery, fornication, you know, shall not have dominion over me, for I'm not under the law, but under grace. These are things that are done in you right now. You're already free. In fact, anytime you've ever sinned or missed it, the only thing you've gratified is your flesh. On the inside, you're not happy. You know when you've missed it. Why? Because you're new. And so in getting the past behind you, and this is what the Apostle Paul said, I'm forgetting those things that are behind. I'm not identifying with those old identities. I'm identifying with this identity. And I'm beginning to say, no, that old person, that was part of my past. Nope, I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. That thing doesn't have dominion over me anymore. I am a new creation. The old moral and spiritual condition has passed away. Praise God. All things have become new. And so as I'm living for God, past, present, future, and I begin to look at things in my life and I begin to identify with things that are part of my past, I say, no, that's past. Now I am a new creation. I am in Christ right now. You're beginning to change the way you think. This is not, you know, if you were to go by your feelings, you'd think, man, I'm lying to myself. No, you're not. You're coming into agreement with what the Scripture says you are on the inside. And as you become into agreement, you begin to see yourself the way the Word of God sees you. You begin to act the way you are on the inside too. It's a powerful truth, beginning to see yourself according to the inward man. Not just putting the past mistakes behind you, but the identities. Where you're beginning to see yourself, I'm a child of God. I walk, I live in victory. And I look at, like the Apostle Paul said, not that I've apprehended or I'm already perfected in terms of I've got it all going on and I live perfect, you know, 24/7, you know, with no problems in my life ever, but there is a growing, there is a renewing of my mind, and I'm getting more free and more free and more free, and I am more free this year than I was last year, and I'll be more free next year than I am this year. The reality of the fact that I am conformed into the image of Christ is going to be something that's going to be more and more real to me, because you know what's going to happen to you at the point in time you do die at some point, unless the rapture happens first? You are going to leave your body, and you know when you leave your body, that new creation, that's what leaves your body. You're going to step outside yourself and go, wow, this is the new creation. This is who I really am. See, all the works of the flesh, they don't go with you to heaven because they're not in your spirit. The first time that I got that revelation, I just remember beating myself up in my mind over something. You know, saying, oh, Ed, that's you. That's just part of you. That's who you are. And the Holy Spirit just checked me and said, no, that's not who you are. And like in a moment of time, I could just see, I could see my spirit man. I could see myself on the inside. And just like a joy. It was like a joy and a light. And I could just see myself. And the Lord said, no, that's who you are. You're a new creation. He said, that thing that you feel bad about, that identity, it's coming at you from the outside. But you are a new creation in Christ. And it's like, this is who I am. Do you know the devil's a liar? He's a good liar, though. He's the father of all liars. It's as good as you get. He's subtle. He's deceptive. But one of the amazing things when you get it, Jesus said, if you continue in my word, if you continue in my word, you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. It'll make you free. It doesn't just make you right. It makes you free. It makes you free to see who you really are in Him. And you begin to think, okay, well, there's some areas in my life that I got to work, but I know who I already am. I know what God has made me in Christ. And this isn't me bragging on me. Look what I've done. I'm a new creation. No, this is what God did in me. And I'm just rejoicing in it, saying, praise God, Lord. Help me to think along the lines of what you've done on the inside of me. Help me to see myself as that new creation. The way you see yourself affects how you carry yourself. And if you see yourself new, you'll begin to carry yourself new. God wants you to see yourself new. He wants you to begin to renew your mind. Yeah, okay, hatred, anger, drugs, whatever kind of things that could be things that have held you back in your past and identify. Nope, no way. This is who I am. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. The old has passed away. How do you put the past in the past when it comes to identities? By seeing who you are right now in Christ. Beginning to realize that. Believe it. You know, you could hear the scripture, and if you come to Door of Life, you hear it a lot. So I want to challenge Door of Lifers in particular who hear the scripture all the time. Really stop and think about it. Really think about it. You are a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, all has become. And you take that image and you put it up next to that thing that's been eating your lunch for 20 years. Okay? On purpose. It's not even good enough to have the theology. You got to actively do this. This is what it means to take your thoughts and bring them into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Not, oh yeah, I believe that. It's part of my statement of faith. No. It's actively, presently doing it. I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. The old has passed away. Behold, all has become new. Something begins to happen. Those old identities fall off as you begin to see yourself according to the miracle of the new birth and what Christ did on the inside of you. Also, God has not given us a spirit of timidity, of cowardice, of craving, cringing, fawning fear, but He's given us a spirit of power, love, and a calm, well-balanced mind, and discipline and in self-control. Another area of the past, not just the mistakes, not just the identities, but the fears. There's a lot of times, it's not that you just made mistakes back here, but mistakes were made on you. You were hurt. Things happened. And when we're keeping the past in the past, not only do we've got to look to that precious throne of grace to keep any condemnation out of our lives in the here and now, and look at that new creation to keep the old identities out, but we've got to look at the Spirit of God living on the inside of us. The Spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. What is the significance of this scripture? That God hasn't given me a spirit of timidity, cowardice, craving, cringing, fawning, fear, but He's given us a spirit of power, love, and a calm, well-balanced mind, and a discipline and self and discipline and self-control. It means that I can go forward in life with that spirit of power, love, and a sound mind, not fearing what happened in the past. Because the past can cause you to be afraid. It can condemn you, can mess with your identity, or it can cause you to be afraid. Getting the past and the past, I'm forgetting those things that are behind. I'm not going to let fear come in. I'm walking forward with the grace of God, the mercy of God. I'm walking forward in the new creation, and I'm walking forward in a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. My past is not going to haunt me and make me afraid. No, I'm going forward with that. I like to put it this way. If you're going to get past your past, you're going to have to remember whose you are. You are His. You come before His throne of grace and mercy and free from all condemnation because your Heavenly Father has cleansed you. Knowing whose you are. Also, you have to know who you are. You are a new creation. in Christ Jesus. The old has passed away. All has become new. And you also have to know who lives in you. It's not just you anymore. There's a greater one who lives on the inside of you. And you're going forward in the power of the greater one. He's a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. Getting my past in the past. Knowing whose I am, who I am, and who lives in me. Paul knew that stuff. He had a revelation, and his past just couldn't condemn him. It couldn't get in his head as far as who he was, and it couldn't haunt him. He would just go forward. I mean, you think of the things that happened to him. He was stoned and left for dead, and somehow got supernaturally raised up. I mean, people are always trying to kill him. And at one point in the book of Acts, he says, as he's getting ready to head to Jerusalem, he said, "Persecutions and afflictions await me. The Holy Spirit even bears witness to these things, but none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, that I might finish my course with joy." He had a strength. He talked tough, but he knew who was in him. He knew who was with him. They were saying, "Remember what we did to you over there, Paul? We're going to do it again." "You can't even scare me with that. I know who's in me, and I know where I'm going. And I'm going to do what God has called me to do. I haven't been given a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. I'm going to preach the gospel." That's you want to scare the devil? That kind of talk? And the devil says all the little things he's going to do to you and try to get you, and you look at him and say, I don't count my life dear to myself, and I don't fear you, and I'm going to preach the gospel. Don't go to Caesarea, or I'm going to do this. I'm going to go to Caesarea and preach the gospel no matter what you do. That strength of spirit, that comes from the Holy Spirit. You don't have that naturally in of yourself. Your natural self-preservation instincts don't carry that kind of courage. It's a supernatural strength that you walk in. Power, love, and a sound mind. The Apostle Paul could not, there was nothing the enemy could do to get the Apostle Paul to look back. He said this one purpose thing. He couldn't look back to scare him. You couldn't look back to condemn him. You couldn't look back to accuse him of who he was. No, he was looking forward. He had those things settled in his spirit. So, forgetting your past life, now present. What about present? So we know what we're supposed to do regarding our past life as far as those things, the things that would try to pull us and get our gaze back. But here's a very powerful, important aspect as far as past, present, future. God wants us to enjoy our present life. There is nothing more powerful than a Christian who's enjoying their life. It's the most Probably one of the most, I mean, the gospel is the power of God into salvation. But when people know you're a Christian and they know you're going through something and they see a peace and they see a strength and they see a joy and they see a hope, that does something. That math doesn't compute in their minds. According to my calculations, you shouldn't be happy now, and yet you are. Now, you haven't said anything, you haven't quoted any scripture verses, but it's the kind of thing that makes them want what you have when you're enjoying your life. You understand? We're talking about spiritual stuff, and sometimes people kind of get this heavy spiritual thing going. And it's true. I mean, these are private things where, Lord, you're taking those stands, but I'm telling you what, you're enjoying your life along the way. This is what Jesus said. He said, "I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and not only saved, but will go in and out and find pasture." I love that. Not only do we get saved when we enter through the door of Jesus Christ, but we go in and we go out and we find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy, but I've come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Amplified, verse 10. The thief comes only in order to steal and to kill and destroy. I came that they may have and enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full till it overflows. Praise God. You know, there is such a lie in the spirit of the world that we live in, you know, saying, you're a Christian. Oh, that means you can't have any fun. You know, the scripture says just the opposite. The scripture says the way of the transgressor is hard. You know, we're duped as a culture into believing that living for the world is fun, living for God is miserable. But if we can make it through, it'll be better on the other side. Wrong. The way of the transgressor is hard. And when the party's over, you're left with broken relationships, mistrust, insecurities. The world is great at glamorizing the flesh and glorifying the flesh and the works of the flesh. Like we've said before, Satan is a magician. He won't show you the other side. He'll show you what he wants you to see. And he's got high gloss, high dollar production equipment to do it. And that's why you can't be looking at the TV for truth. You've got to be looking at the Word of God for truth. There's a word of the world and there's the Word of God. And the word of the world will appeal to your flesh and will appeal to rationalizing reasoning. You'll find yourself rationalizing with stuff that's outside the Word of God. And there's a wisdom all its own. And so the enemy uses those things. He uses those medias to try to play on you. I like that Proverbs 28:1 says, "The wicked flee when no one pursues, but the righteous are bold as a lion." Have you found that in your life? I have. You're messing around with things of the world, things of sin. It makes you weak. It makes you insecure. You're not in fellowship with God. You're starting to guess. That's what sin does. But when you're righteous, when you're standing in your righteousness in Christ, it makes you bold as a lion. Your conscience, it's not that you think you're perfect and that you don't have any room to grow. The Apostle Paul knew he had room to grow. He thinks, "I'm already perfect, but I'm standing in my righteousness in Christ. And my conscience is clear. And there's no place of condemnation." And what that happens, when you're standing in your righteousness of Christ, it's not a holier-than-thou smug attitude. It's a I have peace with God through Jesus Christ attitude. And I'm in a place to where I can see what he wants me to do and I can hear what he wants me to say. It's a place of peace and fellowship with God. That's the functional purpose of righteousness, to put you in that place. So we're saying, enjoy your present life. It's one of the greatest witnesses that we can have for God. 1 John 5:11 puts it this way. It says, and this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. John wanted the church to know something very profound here. He said, "He who has the Son has life, and he who does not have the Son of God does not have life. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God." I just so love that. Verse 12 again, "He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life." Remember John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." If you have the Son today, if you've believed on Jesus, you have life. You have not only life, he goes on to say, that you may know that you have eternal life. Eternal life is not something you get when you die. Eternal life is something you get when you call upon the name of the Lord and receive Jesus. All right? It's not something that's given to you after you die. It's just the part of you that just continues to live on and on after this body's done. Paul said, "I know if this tent were destroyed, I have a habitation of God." That life is on the inside of me. That life is on the inside of you. That's what you get as part of the new birth. You not only become a new creation in Christ, but you will become a temple of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is eternal life. How God is able to do that, unleash in his deity his attribute of omnipresence in such a way that he can dwell inside a human spirit, that's amazing. It's powerful. It's another one of those realities you gotta think, "Yeah, I know that," but really stop and let that one sink in on you. God lives on the inside of me. The Holy Spirit, eternal life, is in my spirit. It's something that I have right now. And why is that powerful? It's powerful because we got to realize again that when it comes to God and living for God and enjoying our life, that we want to enjoy our life now. That life is in us right now. You know, the Holy Spirit will show you creative ways to enjoy your life. To just enjoy your day, to enjoy things. You know, and again, kind of the mentality we can slip into is, you know, I'm gonna enjoy my life, you know, when I get this house, when I get out of debt, when I get that promotion, you know, when I get this relationship, when I get married, whatever it might be, it's kind of out there. You know, it's out there in the future, that enjoying life. No, enjoying life is part of the now, right now. What does that mean? It means in the midst of marital issues, financial issues, relationship issues, there is a life where there is a peace that passes your understanding. There's a joy of the Lord that's your strength. There's a companionship that sticks closer than a brother. There's an inseparable love. There's a life, there's a presence of God right now in him. You don't need people to line up for you to be happy. You can be happy in Him. You can be happy because He loves you. You can be happy because He lives in you. You can be happy with His presence. There's an enjoying life right now. And that's the thing that I want to get across. It's not something in the sweet by and by. That eternal life is in us right now. You think of an abundant life, or just even think about back when Jesus was on the earth. You'd see Him and He'd be around sick people. He'd be around hungry people. He'd feed them. He'd heal them. If there are people that, you know, needed to be ministered to on any level, He was there to love them, care for them. And the Scripture tells us that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that same love, that same compassion, the same good shepherd heart that the Lord had 2,000 years ago, He has for us today. You know, the good life 2,000 years ago was walking side by side with Jesus. The good life 2,000 years later is walking side by side with Jesus. That eternal life on the inside of you, ministering to you, meeting your needs, showing you things to come. Here's another area of just enjoying our life. Now to Ecclesiastes 9:9. Live joyfully with the wife whom you love all the days of your vain life. This is the preacher talking. Which He has given you under the sun, all the days of vanity, for that is your portion in life and in the labor which you perform under the sun. You know, there are admonitions throughout Scripture. And I know this is something else you don't see in the world that much either. That marriage is really fun and exciting, and it's great. And it's really fun to be married. And you can enjoy your marriage. And you can have a good marriage. And you can be happy in marriage. You know, I could put some scriptures up here that would make you blush. And it's the Word of God. I probably should. I don't know. We'll see. But there's strong scripture about a husband and wife enjoying each other, being enraptured, intoxicated with your spouse. You don't see that. The world doesn't glorify a happy marriage. No, the world glorifies the works of the flesh. But I'll tell you what, enjoying your life now, again, a big witness to the world is when you're enjoying your marriage, you're enjoying your spouse, looking for ways to do things together, being satisfied with the charms of your spouse, of the things that that just bless and minister to your heart. I'll tell you one thing, too. When you're married and there is just something between you and that person you're married to that is just unlike. It's not a beauty contest. It's not a beauty pageant. It's not a contest of who's the guy with the, you know, sexiest body or the gal with the sex. All of those contests that appeal to the flesh are there and they can gratify the flesh. But there is nobody on this earth, if you're married, who can satisfy you spirit, soul, and body like your spouse. That spouse has the ability to bring an intimacy that no other person can, spirit, soul, and body. Not only just by what you know and have known each other, the Holy Spirit and God's Word and those covenant promises, you can go places in terms of intimacy in your marriage and joy and fulfillment that this world can't touch, that the world doesn't get. We were designed down here to be able to enjoy our life with our spouse. And what does the world a lot of times do? The world will offer the fantasy. Okay, my spouse is this. You know, they got some good, goods, bad, whatever. But the world will offer the fantasy person. It could be the old boyfriend, the old girlfriend, or that person who's on that TV show. Why can't you be like the person who's on that TV show? Why can't you love me like that? Well, they're paid actors. And when that scene is done, cut! They're human beings with flesh, just like your spouse has flesh. And it's amazing how a fantasy can just walk in love toward you 24/7. Isn't it? Like we said before, Satan is a really good liar. He's very deceptive in these areas. Here's just a commentary from a study Bible I have. This was in connection with Ephesians 5, just talking about the relationship between a husband and wife. It says, the devil will exaggerate your mate's failures and inadequacies, sow suspicion and jealousy, indulge your self-pity, insist that you deserve something better, and hold out the hollow promise that things would be better with someone else. But hear Jesus' words and remember, God can change hearts, remove all hardness, if we allow Him to. There is a person, see, the fact of the matter is, I mean, think about this. The Apostle Paul, he said, I'm still a work in progress. You're still a work in progress. Your spouse is still a work in progress. But when you can begin to realize that, hey, I don't have to wait till I'm perfect to enjoy my relationship with God. I don't have to wait till I'm perfect or my spouse is perfect before we can enjoy our marriage. We can enjoy each other right now. God's design plan for man is to enjoy his marriage, to enjoy his spouse. Again, not waiting for every I to get dotted and T crossed, but to just by faith begin to enjoy your marriage right now. It's a part of enjoying life now that is such a powerful, powerful witness to the world, and it's just an amazing thing too how when we'll do that, you know, we'll begin to see things just by faith, beginning to love and show grace and mercy, not waiting for everything to line up, but just doing it. I mean, God loves that. Have you noticed, as married people in your life, when you are really making an effort to show kindness and love to your spouse, there is a favor and there's a grace on your life. It's just there. It pleases God when you make that concerted effort to be understanding and loving and caring. Enjoy your life now. Enjoy your marriage now. And then I just want to get this one too. Titus puts it this way. He says, to the pure all things are pure, but to those who are defiled and unbelieving, nothing's pure, but even their mind and conscience are defiled. Living Bible puts that same verse this way. A person who is pure of heart sees goodness and purity in everything. But a person whose own heart is evil and untrusting finds evil in everything. For his dirty mind and rebellious heart color all that he sees and hears. I've been both of those people. You have too. There's just something about it. When you begin living for God and just get your, you know, just his goodness and not everything you've ever done wrong and you're not critical of yourself anymore. It's amazing how easy it is to let go of that critical spirit in other people. You're just enjoying love, knowing that God loves you, submersed in his love, knowing that he's working with you, knowing that he cares for you. It amazes. It'll change your outlook. It'll change your perspective. Again, just a little anecdote I love. It just kind of plays right into this. Jim Smith went to church on Sunday morning, heard the organist miss a note during the prelude. He winced, saw a teenager talking when everybody else was supposed to bow in prayer. He felt like the usher was watching to see what he put in the offering plate, and it made him boil. He caught the preacher making a slip of the tongue 5 times in the sermon by actual count. That's probably about what I've done so far. No. As he slipped out the side door during the closing hymn, he muttered to himself, "Never again! What a bunch of clods and hypocrites!" Ron Jones went to church on Sunday morning. He heard the organist play an arrangement of A Mighty Fortress. He was thrilled by the majesty of it. He heard a young girl take a moment in the service to speak her simple, moving message of the difference her faith makes in her life. He was glad to see his church was sharing in a special offering for hungry children of Nigeria. He especially appreciated the sermon that Sunday. It answered a question that had bothered him for a long time. He thought, as he walked out of the doors of the church, how can a man come here and not feel the presence of God? Both men went to the same church on the same Sunday morning and each found what he was looking for. A big part of enjoying our life now is what are you looking for? Are you looking for another hurt to validate that chip on your shoulder? You'll find it easily. Or are you beginning to look and think and focus on things that are true and honest and just and pure and lovely and of good report, virtuous, praiseworthy? Big part of enjoying your life now is what channel you're tuned into. We can tune in to a wonderful, joyful channel and enjoy our life right now. So enjoying life, not getting so busy, slowing down, what the old expression says, take the time to smell the roses. And I'll tell you what, that takes an effort to stop and take the time to smell the roses, to get you out of your routine. It's a vulnerable feeling to get out of your routine. But this is where the Holy Ghost will begin to draw you out of your routine at times to enjoy things and enjoy people and enjoy relationships. I've had a lot of times where just my kids, you know, I'm just working in the office and they might come in and it's just like, yep, okay, stop, break off and just begin to do things. I remember years ago when I was just, you know, 5 levels deep into something, I don't know, that I was studying, and Kaylee comes into the office, and she has this little green bug, and I'm looking at a little green bug, and I'm, you know, really, I could just see her, and I could see her interest, and I could see her amazement, and I just, it's the Holy Spirit saying, stop. There is nothing more important in this world right now than that little green bug, you know? You know, not according to the math in my head. I can't say I've always done it right. I've made my mistakes, and I've, you know, kept going when I probably should have stopped and paid attention. But this was one moment when I just remember looking at that little green bug with her and just hearing and just listening to her heart and saying, you know, Daddy, look at how little its eyes are and how little its brain must be. She said, I wonder what it's thinking about right now. Thinking, you know, but just in amazement and a wonder, you know, Kaylee's just analyzing this little tiny bug, and it's like, wow, praise God. But I just remember just stopping and talking with her. Yeah, I don't know, I wonder, you know, and just having that little moment with her, and just that little connection. You know, this is part of enjoying life now. It's not a big, heavy spiritual stuff. Yeah, we wrestle, yeah, we fight powers, principalities, yeah, we got to cast down imagination. That's part of it. But there is an enjoying life right now where you're making the most of all those opportunities to be able to express and see and enjoy life. Finally, Deuteronomy, I call heaven and earth to witness witness today against you that I've set before you life and death, blessing, cursing. Therefore, choose life that both you and your descendants may live. New living, today I've given you the choice between life and death, between blessing and curses. I call on heaven and earth to witness the choice you make. Oh, that you would choose life, that you and your descendants might live. And again, this is talking, you know, a decision for the Jewish people back there. But in principle, we get that choice every day. Life, death, blessing, and cursing. We get to choose life. Choose to enjoy life. And choose to have fun with your friends, with your family, with opportunities that God will give you to go in, to go out, to find pasture, and enjoy your life. It is one of the greatest ways that you can adorn the gospel of Christ, is enjoying your life. And then finally, reach into your future. Now, when we're talking about reaching into your future, this is the Apostle Paul. Remember, he said, I'm reaching forward. How do we reach into our future? The past does not have the best of me. Condemnation, identification, fear, silenced. My focus is forward. I'm enjoying my life. I'm enjoying my marriage. I'm enjoying my kids, my friends, my family, my life. A beautiful Door County day, the wind and the oceans. I remember going to Hawaii and just sitting there. We spent all this money on a Hawaiian vacation, Julie and I, for our 10th anniversary. And I'm sitting there just on the edge of the ocean, just in awe for like a half hour. You know, 40 minutes just doing nothing, just looking and taking it in. You know, and it's like, oh, it was the most amazing thing I could do with my time. Just taking in, enjoying the glory of God and creation. Enjoy that. You understand? That's for Christians to enjoy the beauty of nature and the glory of God in nature. The Bible says, you know, that they express the creation of God expresses the invisible attributes of God in praise and glory. So, you know, we can enjoy, praise God, God's creation, enjoy that. But then also, we're enjoying our life now, there's a reaching into our future. When we talk about the future, we want to know what's out there. We want to go to where it's out there. But what we're doing is we're reaching into our future. A big way that you reach into your future is right here. Galatians 6, 7 through 10. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he'll also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. A big part of reaching forward into your future. Yes, and we've talked about this before, about being led by the Spirit of God. There are things that we can get to understand, to discern the wisdom and the leading of the Holy Spirit of God. But a big part of just reaching into your future is sowing into your future. Sowing. Sowing love, sowing of your substance, sowing of your thought life, sowing to the Word of God. You can begin to go places so I'm going to put it this way. Your yesterdays have a lot to do with your today. My weight today has a lot to do with my yesterdays. Have you noticed that? My finances have a lot to do with my yesterdays. We talked about that before. We had a thing called the money sermon. But there are things that our yesterdays have done that impact our todays. As we're reaching forward to our future, we've got to realize, I can sow today to that future. Yeah, I get on the treadmill today. I might not lose all the weight I need to lose today. But I'm sowing toward that. Or financially, you know, just blessing, you know, doing good. Not growing weary and well-doing, but being a blessing. You know, there is a blessing, pressed down, shaken together, running over men will give into your bosom. You know, Paul said that God is able to multiply the seeds sown, make all grace abound toward you. You know, in those arenas. Does it happen overnight? Is it like a drive-thru at McDonald's? No. I'm sowing today. I'm beginning to invest in my tomorrow. That reaching forward, yeah, part of it is discerning the will of God. Part of it is knowing what God, but a big part of it is just sowing. I'm going to walk in love. I'm going to forgive. I'm going to keep my mind stayed on Him. I love this. Psalm 1, the Psalm 1 guy. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, doesn't stand in the path of sinners, doesn't sit in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. You know, if I just right now sow by delighting in the Word of God and begin to delight in who I am in Christ, that I'm a new creation, the old has passed away, and that I'm a person of forgiveness, I'm a person of love, I begin to sow and delight in the Word of God, that's what happens first. Then you become like a tree planted. So I can sow today toward my future, knowing that there's a tree planted out there in my future. There's another great psalm that says, because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I'll set him on high because he's known my name. He'll call on me, I'll answer him, I'll be with him in trouble, and I will deliver him and honor him. With long life I'll satisfy him and show him my salvation. Well, I can begin to sow to my future by setting my love on God, setting my heart on his word, delighting in his word. You know, that's a big thing about the future. We don't know everything that's going to go on in the future, but we can begin to sow now toward that future. So when that day comes, I'm strong in the Lord. I don't know exactly what it's going to be necessarily, but I know one thing. I'm going to be strong in the Lord. I'm going to be in the power of his might. My love is going to be set on him. I'm going to be looking to him. I love this. Just a quick little story, and we'll close with this. This is a story about Jesus as he was ministering, and Mary and Martha. Now, it happened as they went that he, Jesus, entered a certain village. A certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. She had a sister called Mary who sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you're worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed. Mary has chosen that good part, and it will not be taken away from her. That's the word of God, where she chose in her distracted, busy life. I'm sowing to the word of God. I'm investing time. A couple weeks ago, I had a message about delighting in the word. You got that sheet, you got that printout with those scriptures on it. It's not a fun, exciting type of a thing, but what is it? It's sowing, it's investing. Our children are in school right now. It's investing their time into their future, what they're going to be doing. And that's what we can do when we sow to the Spirit. We're sowing toward our future. And I can know one thing, regardless of what's out there, again, I'm going to be strong, whatever it is. I'm going to love Jesus more than I do now. The Word of God, spiritual things are going to be real to me. Those are the things I can control, no matter what's out there. Begin to sow to your spirit, reaching out into your future. And then finally, Jesus said, come unto me, all you who labor and heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, learn of me. I'm meek and lowly in heart. You'll find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. That place that Mary found at the feet of Jesus. Lord, I'm just going to be at your feet. I'm going to be strong in you. I'm going to love you. Your love for me is going to be real to me. Who I am in you is going to be real to me. I'm sowing to the Spirit. I am sowing to the Spirit. When I take time with those scriptures, it affects my spirit and the reality of those things. The Bible says that faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. And as I spend time in the Word of God, faith is built up in my spirit. And I'm strong in some areas. But there is a sowing. And I'm sowing toward my future again. Reaching toward those things which are ahead. Past, present, future. Forget your past. We'll say forget your past mistakes, your past identities, your past fears. and begin to look forward and enjoy your present right now. Enjoy your present life, your relationships, the people that God has put in your life, your children, your friends. I mean, they're blessings. I mean, relationships are a huge blessing. You get that revelation, especially as you get older, I think. Just the value of relationships and that God, these aren't mistakes. These are God networking you with people in the earth to be a blessing to. In the church, a church relationship. I mean, tremendous things that we've experienced as Door of Life just by being connected to each other. And then, of course, reaching into your future. And what I mean in this way by reaching into your future, I mean begin to sow into your future. Begin to do what you know you can do to invest into your future the same way you may have a child who's in college investing into their future or a child in school investing into their future. What are they doing? They're investing. They're investing by faith in to prepare and equip them for what's out there in the future. That's something we can do now, reaching forward for the word, the grace, the love, and just the reality of the goodness of God in our life personally. Well, Heavenly Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus. We just thank you.